Hey, good morning and welcome to today's Pride Report here on 97.5 FM Double K Country. I'm Mike Harbert, the Pride Report brought to you in cooperation with Nevada Regional Medical Center and 97.5 FM. Again, as I mentioned, I'm Mike Harbert, and to help us lead things off today is Jennifer Eaton from Nevada Regional Medical Center, and we've got back a pretty cool guest today to talk about some more items in relation to the hospital.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. I brought back with me again this morning Jason McCormick, serving as our interim CEO, and going to talk about some updates and community forums.
All right, very good. So we're going to get back to Jason. Jason, welcome back. Always good to see you.
Hello, Mike. It's good to be back.
I'm going to pull that microphone just a little bit closer to you, if you don't mind, and because we want to make sure that folks hear what's going on, because there's a lot going on right now at Nevada Regional Medical Center. We'll get to a meeting that I attended at the hospital here not too long ago, and those are continuing, those discussions. But first, tell us how things are going at the hospital.
They're going very well. I have been very impressed with the continuous improvement for this financial turnaround that we have been experiencing. We increased revenues from 24 to 25 by 30%, and here in already since July of this year, we've seen another 30% jump in patient volume. So things continue to go well. The community, as we change and improve things with regards to quality of care, the community responds, gives us a second chance, and we continue to see people returning to the hospital. A couple other things. We've not seen a significant change in our volumes with regards to the opening of the hospital in Fort Scott. We're glad to see them have a hospital, but we're also glad to see that it wasn't a significant impact to us. We're very excited about Dr. Heiner and Dr. Colby Smith. They joined us back in July and August, just are doing an excellent job. We have a lot of patients that are signing up to have them be their physicians, and a lot of positive feedback for them. And then I know we lost our neurologist, who was visiting us every other Friday. He's gone into retirement, so we've recruited in the short term a locums neurologist, and they'll begin working with us around the 5th of December, and we'll continue to recruit a permanent neurologist. We're excited about that. The organizational financial performance has been positive since July, and we're seeing positive cash flows, surplus cash flows coming from that. That's helping us to reduce our accounts payable and to address some repairs on the building. We replaced the roof out at NowCare that blew off this spring. So we're reporting a yellow financial performance, kind of like the traffic lights, yellow, green, red. We don't ever want to say we're in a red. We're in a yellow. Basically, that means we're living payroll to payroll. We come up with enough money and cover payroll. But recently, we have seen positive cash flows and are paying down accounts payable. So we're approaching a green status. We would declare a green status if we had a payroll or two in the bank and had our accounts payable caught up. But things are going well there.
I'm glad you explained yellow, because I hadn't heard that accounting term before.
Yeah, that's not generally accepted accounting.
Well, very good. Well, we're going to get to some of the headwinds maybe here in just a little bit with another topic we're going to talk about, because there's always things down the pike I know that probably keep you up at night, and we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But I mentioned at the outset some community meetings, and I attended the first one. I'm very happy I did. Very informative. But you've got some community meetings. I had a second one actually a couple of days ago at the community center, maybe more the general public and attendance at that one. So tell us about these community meetings that you're having about the proposed hospital district and about the process to make sure the community is informed before hopefully they go to the ballot in April.
Yes, I greatly appreciate the opportunity. My job is to inform and educate the community about this strategic step forward. Monumental step forward if we are able to pass this in the polls in 2026. So the intent is to become a hospital district, and a hospital district is very similar to other districts that we see in the county, maybe for water or sewer, things of that nature. There's a boundary. The proposed boundary is the same as Vernon County, and it would have a 6-member elected board, so it would be accountable to the community. It would be independent of the county. It would be independent of the city, so our financial performance wouldn't impact them, or vice versa. We wouldn't have to ask them permission. That board would be fully empowered to do what they need to do.
Well, that was one of the interesting things, is that the 6 board members would actually appear on a ballot, much like school board and city council and things like that.
Correct.
So what's the significance of that? Is it because then the people get a chance to elect those that they want to lead?
Yes, it's about being accountable. You know, right now we have two chiefs running the hospital and too many chiefs, you know, not enough Indians cause problems, or too many cooks spoil the stew, something like that. You know, there are difficulties in our current situation. Our negative financial performance impacts the city. They're, you know, they're trying to do some different community projects, and you know, they're getting caught up on their audits and stuff. But when they do, and they get that interest rate, because our organization is associated with them, we're a component unit, it will impact their cost in interest rates to be able to borrow money. If we were separate, the city could borrow at lower interest rates and it would be easier for them to do projects. So that's a big benefit to the city. For the hospital, you would have one board that could go forward, make decisions, we could settle our debts, we could plan for the future, we could address all these changes that are coming about with decreased reimbursements from the federal government.
All right, so I'm sure those who are listening, or those who have attended these sessions or will in the future, will be wondering, why do we need a hospital district? So tell us why this is necessary.
Well, number one is just to create that separation between the city and the hospital. We're so much larger than we're very different, much more complicated. And just over the years, being combined, you know, there's obviously been different disagreements over how things should be done. And when we do those things, when there's disagreements and drama in the community, patients take their care elsewhere. And that contributed quite a bit to our financial decline, that over the years, over the last two decades, patients decided to go someplace else because they didn't feel we were focusing on them. And we need focus, we need stability, we need a board that can make the decisions to move the organization forward. That's number one. Number two is we need to address the aging condition of the building. I don't know what a board will decide, but we need a board to decide it and decide how to pay for that. You know, the oldest part of our campus was built in 1935. The most recent was in 2005, so it's 20 years old. And just the acidic nature of our water is really destroyed a lot of the plumbing. And so much has to be done. And there's a lot of care to be given as the baby boomers continue to age and their children become, you know, between the ages of 40 and 60. There's a lot of care to be given in the next two decades. And the biggest thing that we need to address is the building. I can address a lot of the other issues in terms of making sure that we have staff and they're paid and supplies and we do the billing correctly. But the biggest challenge and the challenge that requires the community support is, what do we do for a building?
All right, very good. So let's talk about the funding components of this, because with the hospital district comes a different tax situation. Explain how that works.
Yeah, so unfortunately, with a hospital district, the only type of tax we can do is a property tax. And I think people would prefer to see a sales tax, but it's not an option. When we look at what a sales tax would be, the petition reads $1 per hundred in assessed value. And it's interesting to learn, as I look at assessments for different people, how low the assessments are as compared to what you paid for the house. So a typical house in Nevada, you might buy it somewhere between $175, $200. Its appraised value would probably be between $12,000 to $15,000. And so the tax on that would be about $120 to $150 a year. So, you know, really $10 a month in taxes to be able to support the hospital. And somebody that owns a nice home out by the golf course or out on a piece of property is going to pay, you know, maybe double that or triple, depending on the size. But a typical house in Nevada is going to pay about $120. And then for some of their vehicles in that, maybe $40 to $60 a year in tax on their vehicles. So it's not a lot. And what I am trying to share with the community is that when we invest in the hospital and the hospital grows, there's more money circulating in our economy, and that improves everybody's situation. And so I honestly believe that there will be the money there for people to pay the increased tax if we invest in our hospital.
Now, obviously, we're in a rural community, agriculture-based, so is there a difference between those who have property in the city and those who have maybe a lot of land?
There is, but in the county, we look at taxes in three different categories. One is residential. Residential properties contribute 66% of the tax. Mm-hmm. So they're the largest component of the tax base. And then number two are commercial businesses. They pay 22%. That would be like 3M or Walmart or something like that, any commercial enterprise. Agriculture makes up 12% of the tax, which is surprising to me, given all the land we see. They're really sheltered or protected. They have a really low assessed value. I saw a statement the other day, 400 acres, the assessed value, the cost or the tax for the hospital district on the assessed value for that property would be about $250 a year for 400 acres. So not a lot.
Okay. Obviously, there are funding questions going forward. Do you know some of the answers to some of those questions going forward in the next couple of years? So how does this, how would a hospital district help you in that situation with some of the funding cuts that are anticipated?
Well, the federal government is just doesn't have the money to pay for all of the care for the baby boomers and other situations. And in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, they are cutting Medicaid by $1 trillion. They're cutting Medicare substantially as well. They already don't pay the full cost of care. And so, yes, there will be more of them to provide care to. But, you know, when you're losing 10 cents on the dollar and you do more care, that's more money you lose. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, when I look at it, what I see from it is the federal government saying we're not going to pay for 100% of health care going forward. If a community wants to have health care, they'll need to contribute. And what we need them to contribute to help pay for is the building.
All right, very good. Because I feel like I'm contributing a lot already on my bills.
Yeah, your bills and your tax, you know, health insurance isn't cheap, you know.
No.
That's the other tax.
That's a whole other topic.
Yeah, but, you know, but when we talk about it, it's really...
Especially as we're in the month of November and everybody's having to do the renewals.
Yeah, but it's really a question about how do we pay for healthcare going forward? Mm. Do we pay for it in insurance? And that's extremely expensive and creates a huge burden on certain companies and certain organizations in the community, or do we all contribute a little bit and we all benefit a lot?
All right, so you've held these meetings at the time we're talking, at the time this is airing. Two of them have been held. One more is coming up. Jennifer, do you want to give the details on that third scheduled community? Or actually, it's in the mezzanine, so probably more designed for a specific few.
It is, but if there are members of the community that would like to come to that, we are just asking that they email me, which is jeaton, E-A-T-O-N, at nrmchealth.com, just to ensure we have an adequate seating up there in the mezzanine, and it will be Wednesday evening, the 5th at 5 p.m.
And I'm sure if this gets on a ballot, then more sessions will be scheduled down the road that may be in a larger form.
Exactly. The most important thing we need to do by the end of December is to get people to sign the petition. When you sign the petition, you're not signing that you're for this request. You're just saying you want it to be a community decision. You want it to be on the ballot to determine how the organization moves forward.
All right, very good. And I know those petitions are available at different locations, including the hospital, right?
Yes.
All right, very good. All right, let's talk about, first of all, Jason, thank you very much. Very informative. Look forward to talking to you again down the road.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
All right, turn over to Jennifer Eaton once again. Talk about some community events coming up. Oh, the holiday season is upon you, right?
It is. It is fast approaching. Our auxiliary will be having their holiday open house for their gift shop on Friday, November 14th. This is in conjunction with all of the downtown retailers as well. That'll be from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. again on Friday, November 14th. And you can come kick off your Christmas shopping, shop everything Christmas. I know that we'll have a lot of it out in the main lobby of the hospital. So right when you come in, they'll have some door prizes. They'll have some snacks. So that goes on that whole day on Friday. The Foundation Tree of Shining Memories will be kicking off very soon. That program, you can purchase a light in memory of a loved one and put that on the name on the tree. Those names will be displayed in the main lobby throughout the month of December, and I update those weekly. And then usually we try to get a big recognition and display in the Daily Mail as well. And then the final community blood drive of the year will be on Monday, December 1st. That's from noon to 6 p.m., and we do that up in our mezzanine conference room. Community Blood Center of the Ozarks puts on those drives for us. All the blood that they collect does stay local and benefits our patients. They do take walk-ins. You just may have to wait a little bit. They can go to the Community Blood Center website and find those drives and register online, or they can always call them directly at 417-227-5006 to sign up.
All right, and I believe the website is cbco.org. Right?
Yes.
Right, and you can do a search for Nevada. So,
yep.
So very good. All right, appreciate it. Got a very busy time coming up, not only holiday-related, but, of course, with information coming out about the proposed hospital district as well. So a very busy time at Nevada Regional Medical Center. Jason, Jennifer, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's today's Friday Report, brought to you by Nevada Regional Medical Center and 97.5 FM Double K Country. We'll talk to you 2 weeks from today. Until then, I'm Mike Herbert. Thanks for joining us.